Well, today we have a guest joining us here in studio. I'm going to try this now. Shirjan Amezai. Did I get it? All right. Yes, very good. From the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and several other places before that, too. We're going to talk a little bit about some of his adventures and some of the things that he's been able to experience. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you. Working at the University of Nebraska, Omaha gives you an opportunity to reach out to a lot of different groups, individuals, visit with a lot of folks about some of your background and things that you have experienced in your earlier life in Afghanistan, particularly. Mm-hmm. What's the response that you usually get from folks when you tell them different stories?
Well, first of all, whenever I go across the country and talk about I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, the first thing they tell me, where is Omaha? So that's itself a unique thing for me, actually ending up in Nebraska, in Omaha, Nebraska, working at the Center for Afghan Studies for the University of Nebraska at Omaha. Now I'm leading that center as a director for that center for the last 2 years. My experience, my life experience, has been a story of any refugee kid who has gone through all the harshness of life and losing family members. I was born in Afghanistan, fled to Pakistan after Russian invasion. During the war, I lost my father, my uncle, and as a result of that, one, my grandfather. We lived first years in a refugee camp, and there were just like any other tent camp where you could just sit and wait for aid come to you. Not a place where anybody would like to be there. Harsh life, and in a tent under sun at 120 degrees of Fahrenheit. So it was not a good life that I would say I would like anybody else to have it. So refugee life is tough. Then growing up in Pakistan and went to school there, graduated from high school in 1997, started teaching English as a second language, one of the local institutions in Pakistan. And after 9/11, 2002, I came back to Kabul, Afghanistan. The country where I was born. I started working for the government in different capacities. And I ended up in the president's office as aide to his spokesperson. My first position was that one. And then I, climbing up the chain of structure up to the position where I was managing the president's everyday schedule, a very powerful position where I could say no to many meeting requests when actually, I did to a few high-profile meetings, so that was a power that I had at that time. Very well-positioned place that I had and enjoyed working there, though I had only a high school degree at that time. But the hard work and the trust that was entrusted by my superiors gave me an opportunity to rise to the occasion in many places and many times and work my way up there. And in 2007, I came to the United States for my studies, and now I'm living in Omaha, Nebraska.
It's quite an adventure. It's quite a story. The hardships, the loss that you suffered early on in life, that could stop someone from advancing, having to deal with some of those tough issues. But for you, was it a driving force?
Absolutely. I've seen many of my peers of that age who went in the wrong way, actually. Unfortunately, not by choice, but by circumstances that did not have the opportunity to go the way I did, or many others like me did, went to school and worked hard and found a good position, a good place in their society. Many of them were killed, went to war, have miserable life. The life as a refugee is not something ideal that anybody would like to have. A life not of your own. You're forced to live a life that you don't enjoy, but that's the only option you have. The only option is that you wait for others to help you. You cannot help others, actually. You're not in a position to help others. You're yourself a victim of all the stuff that's happening around you. So that's what a refugee is. That's why I feel for any other refugee around the world, be that whatever kind of refugee, be of the war or any other circumstances. But that's the life I went through, and I don't want anybody else to go through that life. Losing family members, very close family members. In our culture that I come from, fathers are the breadwinners of the family. Women, my mother did not work. And if you don't have anybody to earn something, you become more miserable. And we lost my father, my uncle, because the Russians killed him. So did my father. You know, I did not know my father was killed. We were still hoping that he was alive just a few years ago. I found that he was killed in Kabul. Just after 3 months, he was arrested. So till 3 years ago, actually, we did not know that he was killed or alive. We were still hoping. I mean, I was always hoping that someday somebody would call me, hey, I know where your father is. Till 3 years ago, I found out through a list of people, actually, that was published by Dutch intelligence, who had arrested a person who was involved in that time of government killings, where there was a list of 5,000 people who were, some of them were buried alive. Mm. And I'm not sure if my father was one of those people buried alive, but I know he was one of those people killed right 3 months after he was arrested. So that happened in Afghanistan, and thousands of others were killed by pro-communist regimes and communists in Afghanistan at that time.
Do you feel an obligation to, I guess, working at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, to teach folks about a part of the world that we probably really don't have a good feel for what happens there?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's an obligation. It's an honor. It's what I feel for it. It's an affinity that I think I have for telling others where I come from and where United States assistant made me as what I am right now. The schools that I went to in Pakistan were assisted by the United States through the University of Nebraska at Omaha, through our taxpayers here who paid for my education in one or another way. Partially, yes. They printed the books for us. Those were the books, same books that I read in my school, the textbooks, that I could become a 12th grade graduate working for a president of a country. So there is a connection that I had with the United States and Nebraska and Midwest. So yes, I feel proud. I feel obligated to share what I know and share with the rest of my American fellows that it was you who helped people like me to be as they are right now. So there is a sense of achievement that I want to share with others and a story that many of other people don't know. Afghanistan is a place where is mired in problems right now and a lot of stuff, but I feel responsible to share what I know, and I feel responsible to tell them the good results of their actions. Tell them that their money they spent on the Afghans did not go in waste, but actually it helped millions of people in Afghanistan, where majority of the people in Afghanistan love Americans, love America, and they want us, the United States, to stay in Afghanistan.
And provide what? What do the Afghans need right now from the United States?
A helping hand rather than a feeding hand. So there's a difference between a feeding hand and a helping hand. Afghans, like any other human being, know what to do with their lives, but they lack resources. They lack assistance in that sense. And they don't want to be engulfed in problems. Any average Joe here in the United States would like to have a better life, earn something for their kids, who can go to school next day with a full stomach. That's any Afghan would like to have for their kids and the family. They don't want to go to war against anybody else. Some of the stuff have been imposed by many factors in Afghanistan. And the United States has been really doing a great job in helping Afghans stand on their own feet rather than feeding them to stand on their own feet. Afghans are, like any other human being, able to learn things to do their way. And we cannot impose our will on anybody else, but we can help them do what they can do for themselves. The next day we can be friends forever. That's, I think, important for us to understand that our presence is making a huge difference in Afghanistan. And I think we should continue helping others in what they, as a human being, it's our job, it's our responsibility, moral responsibility to help others become good human beings and stand on their own feet.
Sure. Every country has its issues, this one included. But from the financial resources to the natural resources to the opportunities, we're very fortunate that we were born in this country to start with because we have those resources available. It's just a matter of sharing some of that wealth in some way to help others kind of move forward.
Absolutely. You talked about natural resources. Mm-hmm. Afghanistan is a very rich country in terms of natural resources. It has estimated trillions of dollars of rare earth minerals. It has a lot of water. Geographically located in an area where it could become one of the richest country in that region, given the opportunity is available. I think we can help them do that, where they could not be burdened on us, United States or anybody else, where they could be our strategic partners in preserving the interests of the United States in the region, because we do have strategic interests in the region, just not only Afghanistan. And for us, it's important to realize the fact that if we have a friendly Afghanistan where they could use their own natural resources for their own benefit in a way that benefits us in the long term, because we would have a country which is stable, not becoming a vacuum for terrorists, not becoming a place where others could pose threats to us and our interests and our allies, and not become a place where we would have to go back and clean up. So there is potential, there is wealth. The Afghans just need our helping hand.
And it is very much appreciated. There are so many different ways we could go in this conversation and talk about so many different issues. You know, time is always a factor in the radio, too. Yes. I want to thank you for coming by. I know You're the welcome. Atlantic Rotary Club appreciated your appearance here this week.
I was honored to present my talk on that.
Had a nice presentation. Did you get good feedback from that?
Absolutely. Wonderful comments afterwards. People came to me and appreciated what I said. Actually, one of the participants came in and said, "You changed my mind." Absolutely, because I was thinking of, let's get out of Afghanistan. Now I think otherwise. I think we are there to help. We can help.
Again, from where we sit here in the world, we only know so much about that part of the world. That's why it's important for us to keep our eyes and ears open and visit with folks like you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Shoshan, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks a lot.